Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to our worship service where we will celebrate Maundy Thursday together. I have a couple of announcements about this service, and then I have a couple of announcements about what's happening the rest of the week. So for this service, we are going to be celebrating communion together. So at that point in the service, after I bless the elements, our elders will come forward, and they will come to you and serve you. And then once everyone is served, we will partake of the elements together. At the conclusion of the service, so after I do the benediction, I am going to invite our deacons to come forward and strip the altar and kind of prepare it for Good Friday. This is meant to be a quiet, meditative, reflective exercise. So Kristen and I will come down and we'll take a seat and we can watch the deacons. And then when they're done, we will all exit the sanctuary quietly to kind of mark the transition from Maundy Thursday to Good Friday. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we will be celebrating Good Friday together on Zoom. You should have gotten the link for that service. If you haven't gotten it yet, let me know and I will resend it to you. That service, we have a lot of different and fun and unusual things happening. Big thing that is happening is we are going to be reading through the Passion narrative together, and actually our deacons are going to be helping read through that, so it's not just Kristen and I for 15 minutes. Kristen put the service together and is going to be preaching, so she would really appreciate if you would attend that with us. Then on Sunday, we will gather together at 10 a.m. in Fellowship Hall for an Easter breakfast and Easter egg hunt, depending on what the weather is. And then we will gather here in the sanctuary at 11:15 for our Easter worship service. So that is the plan for the rest of our week. With that, let us turn our attention to God for our call to worship. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." Me in our prayer of confession. God of mercy, You sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another. Good morning. Good evening. I keep saying good morning.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Let us pray for the world. Let us pray for the church. Let us pray for the sick. Particularly this evening, Lord, we lift up to you Sandy's daughter, who will be having surgery tomorrow. God of compassion, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, that drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Yep. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What are you most looking forward to doing once you're vaccinated? This is the question everyone is asking right now. For some people, getting vaccinated is a huge deal. It means being able to see family and friends that they haven't seen in over a year. For other people, getting vaccinated is an opportunity to travel again. For a few other people, getting vaccinated is an opportunity to do things like get a pedicure or your hair done or your brows done. As I read through our scripture passage for this Maundy Thursday, I began to imagine how Jesus might answer this question. Let's say Jesus lives in a universe where COVID-19 is happening and a vaccine is available and he's vaccinated. Jesus, what is the first thing you're going to do when you're vaccinated? "That's easy," I see Jesus saying in my head. "I will go and I will wash my disciples' feet. And I will spend a little extra time washing the feet of the one who is about to betray me." Our scripture passage for this evening centers around Jesus' greatest commandment: love one another. "As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." If we had to choose one word to describe Jesus's life and ministry, it would be love. Love God and love each other. If we claim to follow Jesus, then love must characterize what we do as well. What's so interesting to me about this scripture passage and Jesus's commandment about love is it's actually a reinterpretation of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. You all remember the Ten Commandments, right? These commandments teach us the do's and don'ts of how we are to love God and how we are to love our neighbors. We are to love God with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And we are not to do things that will make it impossible for us to love our neighbors. Things like murder and theft and adultery. The Ten Commandments are really great legal codes. They are a great way for us to put boundaries around what is and what is not acceptable human behavior. But they don't always account for the messiness of the human condition. So Jesus comes and he broadens their application. Let's take loving God and loving your neighbor, for example. I think we can all agree that we should treat our neighbors with respect. But let's say I have a neighbor that lives below me that likes to throw house parties on Saturday evenings, going into the wee hours of Sunday morning. Is it loving for me to call the police to break up the party? Or should I instead just stomp around really loudly at 5:30 on Sunday morning when I'm getting up and annoy him the way he's annoyed me? In our text for this morning, Jesus is clear. We are to love one another. I think this commandment is a call to love even when it's hard. It's a call to love Judas after he betrays us to the Roman authorities. It's a call to love Peter after he denies our existence, not once, but three times. Christian faithfulness means loving one another, even and especially when we are suffering, when we choose to love unlovable people. I think loving unlovable people is the true marker of Christian community. This unconditional love is what separates the church from, say, a Sunday morning yoga class. We say all the time that the world will know we are Christians by our love. But we're able to love one another because we've experienced the love of Jesus. We've experienced the love of Jesus when someone else has embodied this love in our lives. When somebody has taken this abstract idea and turned it into concrete acts of love in the world. Tonight, I want to give you one example of what this type of love could look like. In January 2021, Shippick Pharmacy, this is a pharmacy located in Montgomery County, so a suburb of Philadelphia, was approved to administer COVID vaccines. The pharmacy is run by a young pharmacist that his patients call Dr. Mac. Under Pennsylvania's vaccine distribution guidelines, Dr. Mac needed to vaccinate the most at risk in his community for developing COVID complications. So in this group, we're talking about the elderly. We're also talking about people with pre-existing medical conditions. And these populations of people are not the easiest to vaccinate. Some don't have internet access. Some were worried how this vaccine would affect their pre-existing conditions. And children and young people especially really hate getting shots, and now they would have to get two. To pull this off, Dr. Mack knew that he was going to need a village. See, Dr. Mack owns a small pharmacy. There are just two pharmacists and two pharmacy interns. So he recruited and he trained dozens of volunteers to answer the phone and help residents without access to technology schedule appointments. As January came to a close, Dr. Mack realized that he was going to have to start making house calls if he wanted to reach the people in his community who needed vaccines. Y'all remember what January and February 2021 were like. We got a lot of snow and ice and freezing rain, so many people were physically unable to get to the pharmacy. So in February, Dr. Mack dusted off an old Halloween costume, his Superman costume, and he proceeded to drive through the frozen suburbs of Montgomery County to deliver vaccines to homebound residents. The reason he dressed up as Superman was so that his patients who had dementia, as well as young people who were scared of getting the vaccine, were immediately put at ease because they recognized Superman. Vaccinating his community has come at a great personal cost to this young pharmacist. His wife is 7 months pregnant with their first child. As a health precaution, he's been living with his parents, and he only sees his wife every other weekend. The days are long, and the stress is heavy. But Dr. Mack wants to get as many people in his community as possible vaccinated before his son is born in May. I share this story with you this evening because I think it's a good example of what love can look like in the world. All it takes is one person figuring out how to do one act of love well. I think as Christians, we need to be setting the example of what this type of love looks like. And sometimes we think too small and we limit our acts of love to things that happen in the church or with our church family. And when we do this, we aren't really following Jesus's commandment to love God and love our neighbor. If we take seriously our desire to follow Jesus, then we need to participate in these concrete acts of love in the world. Coming to church every Sunday isn't enough. Visiting your friend or your church member when they're in the hospital isn't enough. We have to model the sacrificial love of Jesus in our communities. Friends, I think Maundy Thursday challenges us to imagine how God is calling us to love our neighbors. Now, most of us do not have the skill set required to vaccinate our communities, but all of us are going to be asked to love the unlovable people in our world. Not because we want to be recognized, not even so that the world will know we are Christians, but in response to the love of God that has grabbed hold of us and that will never let us go. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we're going to remain seated for our communion hymn. Thank you. hands. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 216, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Just a reminder, at the conclusion of the benediction, we're going to take a seat and let the deacons do their work, and then we will exit quietly when they are finished. Before we go, let me offer a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.